Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Just when you thought the case against Sean Diddy Combs couldn't get any bigger, federal prosecutors have filed a superseding indictment expanding the scope of the charges against him. We're talking about allegations of sex trafficking, coercion, bribery, obstruction of justice, and even arson, for good measure. Painting a picture of a long-running criminal enterprise now labeled in court documents as Combs Enterprises. The indictment lays out an intricate system where Combs allegedly used his businesses, employees, and massive influence to control and exploit victims over the course of decades, with a trial set now for May of 25, which highly doubt that we're going to make that. The case is shaping out to be one of the most high-profile legal battles in recent memory. We're joined by Bob Mata, host of Defense Diaries, and also we're going to start breaking down right now the new indictments and what it means from a legal perspective. Bob, when we're looking at these superseding indictments here in this case, is it a sign that they're tightening their grip on Diddy? Or, you know, sometimes you may look at this and go, are they just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, no, the feds don't do that throwing everything against the wall and see what sticks things. That's like a state prosecutor type thing. Now, when the feds come at you, they are pretty confident that they have the evidence to get the conviction. So, yeah, no, it's to me, it means that they believe that they're going to be able to make that RICO case. And it's interesting because of, you know, RICO, when you think of RICO cases in recent memory, obviously everybody's mind goes immediately to like YSL. That was like a absolute shit show of a RICO trial. But the difference there and the difference here is that was the state of Georgia as opposed to the federal government trying that. And here you've got the feds. So it's just night and day when you're dealing with the feds in the state in terms of their ability to be able to make good on what they're alleging in their superseding indictment. So I think it's probably got some legs.
There's a lot in here, and we'll kind of go through it, but you had a chance to look at it. You actually sent it to me last night when it all came down. I had a chance to read through it all on the air. What stood out to you in this thing as, you know, maybe some new elements to this that go beyond just the first indictment?
Yeah, I mean, I think they added a couple things, you know, which really kind of add to the story. And it's interesting because I finally got an opportunity to start watching some of that doc that you were talking about last time we talked about Diddy.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. You know, I think that the charges that they add most significantly are the RICO, and that changes kind of the scope of the case in terms of, you know, because when you think of RICO, you usually think of, well, who are the co-conspirators, right? Are they named? Are they unnamed? And, you know, like, is Diddy now going to be sitting in trial with like 20 different guys? And it doesn't have to be that way, mm-hmm. because that's why they go into great lengths in the document talking about the enterprise. Mm-hmm. The enterprise in and of itself allows for them to move on a RICO. So they can talk about, you know, his security staff, his like inner circle people, you know, all the people that he had surrounded him with that he had doing his bidding as the co-conspirators, as a part of that, that larger enterprise. So, you know, it's going to make for like RICO cases are fascinating if they're well done, you know, cause you're really trying to kind of dive into the case in a way that you're able to get to the person that you're trying to get to in kind of an indirect way, which sounds crazy in terms of how I explained it. But remember, RICO really came about by the feds in order to try to get some of these outfit guys.
Yeah, like mobsters. Like, yeah.
Yeah, the mobster guys, because they just weren't able to succeed charging them with crimes that they knew they were committing because the head of the family always had people doing his bidding. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like that was how what RICO was really born out of. So here, Diddy's the head of the family. He may have had a bunch of guys doing his bidding, but at the end of the day, under RICO, he's going to be held responsible, even if they can't say, well, we know it was you that ordered, and this is hypothetical, ordered a hit on so-and-so. Mm-hmm. You know, and but we know that you're the head of the family, and then we know that shit runs downhill. So, and we know that you have a criminal enterprise going on. So, yeah, I mean, like we've speculated that there was going to be a lot more coming down the pike. Mm-hmm. I still don't think they're done.
No,
I honestly,
no.
I don't think by a long shot. I agree with you completely. May 2025 is super ambitious, because anytime they bring in superseding indictments, that means more discovery, mm-hmm. and that means the defense is going to be asking for time. I mean, kind of the counterbalance to it though is that you've got Diddy's in custody, so. And he's not happy about it, I assure you. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be saying, no. He's like, you need to fucking work 24/7. You need to get your shit ready. Like I'm paying you right. Get it done. We're not dragging this thing out. I'm sitting here in custody and, you know, with him of the mindset that he's going to walk on it. But, you know, like he's like, I'm not letting my attorneys drag this thing out. So he's going to put their feet to the fire and, you know, force them to get prepared as quickly as possible. He's like, I'm your only client right now. Mm-hmm. No, that's it. So act accordingly.
I mean, when you add new charges, I mean, his right to a speedy trial, I mean, does that kind of go away, or is it just kind of push the goalpost back a little bit with a firm date for a right to a speedy trial, or is it all kind of up in the air, you know, the more charges that could come down with more superseding indictments?
Yeah, no, I mean, if a new indictment comes, it's new charges, so you need to reset the clock.
Sure. Sure. I mean, I'll be surprised if we see this happen by May of 2027, quite honestly. I don't think it's happening anytime soon. In the case here, and comparing a RICO charge as we would like for a mobster or something, where there's all these other people that are insulating the head of the family. There is that element in certain pieces of this case, but a lot of it, I mean, you have him on camera. The way that they've worded the indictment, they got material, they got video. They wouldn't be listing out like actions that are in these videos, just going, I think there's a video that looks like this. No, they have the video, or they've seen it, or it is very solid that it is there. But it shows Diddy, I mean, doing some of these things like directly. But then you also, you do have some minions in there, but more so than I think you would with, you know, big crime bosses. They don't necessarily have them on video ordering this or that. It's more so the subs and all that go below them. So, I mean, does that make this a little different than a typical type RICO case where you do have like direct evidence of the main subject performing these illegal acts?
Yeah, yes and no, because I think that what they charged him with initially are the things that you're going to be seeing him on video. Mm-hmm. It's the things that take place that aren't on video is where RICO is going to poke its head in. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like, obviously things like bribery, you know, like that's not going to be something that is necessarily going to be caught on video. You know, maybe even not the, like, it depends on what they consider kidnapping.
Sure.
Like how they're construing that statute. You know, cause I mean, if it was a civil claim, that would be kind of a false imprisonment type thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to kidnapping. You know, the aiding and abetting, you know, those are going to be things that, like, you're not necessarily going to see on film. To me, it's a bit of a catch-all, you know, like this is like, we're not going to let you get away with any of the shit that you've done or that we think that you've done. And, you know, RICO is really kind of the way to capture those other things, mm-hmm. that they believe that he's done, mm-hmm. or that he ordered to have done that they wouldn't otherwise be able to bring without the RICO statute. So, you know, like, it's, I see what you're saying, but, like, you don't need that RICO with direct evidence. You know what I'm saying?
It's just, there's enough there to do both. Quite honestly, there's some and that they are direct and some that are RICO, but it's all the same thing.
Yeah. They are, like, so don't be confused. Superseding indictments doesn't mean that the old ones go away.
No.
It's just like we're adding to it.
Yeah. It's certainly, you know, it's just the wall of now that Diddy has to break through. The first one, a nice solid concrete wall. You'd really have to pound through that to get out. And then right behind it, that was a Teflon wall with barbed wire on top. And they're already working on constructing the third one behind that, I'm sure. So it makes this just more and more dark for Diddy. I mean, I don't see how he's going to be moving past any of these things. I found it interesting in the new superseding indictment, similar to what we found in the first one, is some of the allegations that have come out in the civil suits are now listed in the federal indictment against Diddy, specifically talking about hanging a person, I believe it's a woman, off of a balcony, a la the old story of Suge Knight and Vanilla Ice, but this was Diddy's version. It makes you wonder if, you know, he heard the rumors and go, I'm going to do that too. If Suge could do it, I can do it. Right. But you're starting to see some of those things come into play too. The fact that the elements of some of the civil cases are now into the federal indictment, that I would think certainly says, well, those civil cases must be pretty damn strong too, if they're now getting into the federal territory as well.
Yeah. And I mean, for certain, and it's a much lower burden
in
civil cases, you know, it's not beyond a reasonable doubt. So, but yeah, I agree that if the feds felt like whatever they had in those civil cases in terms of discovery and evidence, they felt that it was sufficient for them to move on a higher burden. So yeah, that does tell you that those civil cases are, you know, pretty rock solid. I imagine that a vast majority of those will get settled. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, probably before they try to depose Diddy, you know, and mm-hmm. I think we talked about this way back where we were talking about whether or not the judge in the civil case is going to be beholden to the criminal case, in that, you know, they're going to obviously want to depose Diddy in the civil stuff. And, you know, I've had cases where there's kind of a companion civil case going at the same time as a criminal case. And typically I've been able to, you know, ask the judge in the civil case, I'm like, look, you know, there's Fifth Amendment implications here. You know, we want to be able to provide the discovery pursuant to the notice of deposition. However, you know, I can't put my client in a position where potentially they're saying, you know, they're saying things that are going to be able to be used, because obviously depositions are sworn statements, mm-hmm. You know, and I can't have him in a position where what he's saying in those depths is going to be used against him in his criminal matter. So, you know, a lot of times the judges will table those. I mean, I've had situations where the judges are like, nah. It's like, you know, where the judge will ask specifically, so, like, what are you concerned about? Mm-hmm. Like what are you worried about him saying that is going to have an impact over in this courthouse, in the criminal courthouse? You know, and you're kind of having to get into it, and you're making the argument, well, Your Honor, that's privileged. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like it can get tricky. But yeah, no, to your main point, yeah, the fact that they're, and we knew that they were going to do this. We said it. Like, mm-hmm. it's like those are a guide map for the feds, because you can dig up a lot more on the civil side of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and there's a much bigger incentive for people when there's money involved for them in terms of coming forward.
Yeah.
No. So, but with that, I think that you also have to worry about people that are just trying to cash a check.
Sure.
You know, you always have to worry about that, especially when you're talking about Diddy money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's huge money, and you got to vet the stuff. You got to see what kind of evidence they have to corroborate it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they can't corroborate it, then, you know, it's worthless. So, yeah.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.